I'm like,
wow.
We didn't move it. Well,
sure you did.
No, I'm all good. I'm all good.
Good afternoon, Kevin.
I guess let's just start with, you know, the way this ended and with the vision that you must have had as you were putting this together. And, you know, you go all the way back to, you know, the start of the 2018 Western Conference. You've got this Central Six, and they've learned a lot of lessons, and then the additions you made, and to have it end the way that it has. What frustration, disappointment, anger?
I think the word that comes to mind is incomplete. You know, it's something here that, you know, we're obviously, we have to process, and that's part of, you know, part of the timing here right now is talking to all the players. I still have a bunch to, you know, to talk, you know, with and go through. And, you know, their comments are very thoughtful and you know, still probably incomplete as well, because, you know, it's only, whatever, 48 hours since, you know, since we, this, you know, the series ended. I think there's lots of soul searching in their minds that I think they still need to do. A bunch of guys, you know, we talked about, you know, let's maybe reconnect in a couple of weeks here and you know, talk further, since, you know, it's all still pretty fresh in their minds. And you know, a lot of guys talked about, you know, again, the process of what they need to go through for the summer and how do we get better? How do, you know, individually do they get better? And then, you know, think about what collectively as a group, you know, they can. You know, it is something, again, you know, we talked about, you know, reaching 110 points is something that they should, you know, be proud of. But, you know, to a man, they're all talking about, but, you know, they still wanted more. And that's, you know, that's what they're all going to have to think about. And we're all going to have to think about as an organization. We all have to find a way, you know, how can we be better? That, you know, whether it's the players, myself, you know, this is what we challenged. We, you know, one thing that, you know, again, this organization, we talked about it when we made the commitments to, you know, the guys at the beginning of the year, we want to win. And it hurts. You know, I can't tell you, you know, it didn't get emotional after, you know, after the series. You're in it with these guys, and you feel for them. You feel for the organization. I definitely feel for the fans.
What was it like for you to watch your Jennings winning team give up so much?
Well, you know, again, I guess it shows you that the playoffs are a different animal, and I think that from our perspective. I think, you know, again, you have to be prepared to try and play any different way, you know, to obviously be successful. The other team has got, you know, talented players. You know, us sitting here saying it was all about us would be a disservice to the fact of what kind of great players and great team and well-coached and well-managed and the organization that we matched up against. But I think, you know, back even when we talked about when we made the trades at the trade deadline, and obviously that is, you've done nothing. Until you're the team standing there at the end, you've done nothing. And it's, you know, the onus is on everybody to, you know, within the organization to try to find a way to be that 10% better.
A lot of players talked about not enough intensity and that they never came close to playing their best. What does that tell you about this team's makeup and how much fixing it needs?
Well, you know, I think... You know, you stand up here and you're asked to articulate things and put things into words or put things into labels, and everyone then interprets what those labels mean to them. The labels may not necessarily mean the same thing to a player. Like as an athlete, you know, I think intensity, you know, it's making that right decision at the right time. It's cutting things off five feet before, or being 6 inches in the right place. Like it's attention to details. You know, that gives you that intensity too. So it's, you know, I would never, I could stand here and look you straight in the eye and say, I didn't think this team, you know, ever gave up or was lack of effort or anything like that. And, you know, and I'm not just BSing you here. Like this group cared, this group, you know, gave it every single day. I watched them practice. I watch them, you know, more so even what they do off the ice. But at the end of the day, You know, there's you've got to find more, or else, you know, that's what this game is all about. So whatever those words mean to that player, or the individual players, it's you got to find more, you know, if you want to be a champion.
I suppose you could make an argument if a team quits, there is potentially more in that team. It just wasn't extracted. If a team gives everything that they have and at the end of the day it's just not enough, what does that suggest to you? Does it suggest that, you know, changes need to be made?
Yeah,
to...
so, you know, I think, you know, for us, obviously, you know, there's going to be changes. Changes are inevitable, you know, every offseason, whether you want them to happen or you don't want them to happen. And sometimes that's good. Sometimes it's changes maybe you don't want to have happen, but sometimes there are changes that you do. So that's obviously there. But for us, you know, and I think, you know, they weren't just idle words when we talked about this group needs to play a certain way to be successful. And, you know, and I think a lot of teams are like that. Like, you know, they have to play a certain way. And if there's, you know, a deviation of it, or whether another team, you know, is successful in knocking you off of that, you know, then, you know, those are things that, you know, you have to try to, you know, understand. And but again, it's going to be a period of time where there's going to be lots of reflection. I don't have all the answers here right now. I don't think the players have all the answers here right now. You know, and I like I say, I do know that several of them we've talked about, you know, having some conversations as we continue to go, because I think they'll, you know, they're going to be more thoughtful of you know, where things were, you know, during this series.
Rick bore the brunt of, you know, not getting the team to where it needed to be. How do you evaluate that, and is he back next year?
Well, I haven't had a chance to have a conversation with the coaches. Will, whether it's individually with Rick or collectively, from with the coaches, you know, about anything. Yesterday was an off day for, you know, for those guys as well. And you know, we're going through all the players here today. You know, Zinger's not here; he's in Europe. But you know, Larry Simmons and myself are talking to, you know, with the players, like I say, still going through that process. Hopefully I'll meet with, you know, Rick and or the coaches tomorrow and go from there. But from a job that they did standpoint, you know, I think they did a great job. You know, like, there's certainly going to be areas where they're going to be self-critical, and you know, we have to be self-critical, you know, whether it's consistency on the, you know, on the power play or the penalty kill. You know, last year, I think we were seventh. This year, we were 21 or 22. You know, like, why? You know, so those are questions that they're going to be asked. And those are questions that, you know, again, you know, you're searching for answers for. But, you know, there's lots of good things that happen, too. And you don't want to sit here and, you know, on garbage bag day and you know, trumpet, you know, all those things because you wanted to win. But I think that, you know, we instilled a structure that, you know, showed that it could win, that you could win with it. You know, we put up regulation wins, which in this league is a difficult thing to do. You know, and just, you know, again, there was a level of consistency for a long period of time that, you know, you sat there and, you know, you could hold yourself to that standard. During a season, you know, the period of time where, you know, there was lots of things going in the right way with respect to, you know, systems and structure and the way it looked. And you hope that that's what lays the foundation, you know, for the rest of the season. But unfortunately, we, you know, we got out of that structure and you know, for whatever reasons, you know, we couldn't find our way to get back to that that structure fast enough.
Last one for me. You got a few UFAs that you may or may not deal with, depending how it goes. But Brendan Dillon, particularly, he said that he was frustrated that maybe he wasn't sitting there with a contract and not having to worry about it. This team has prided itself on often, or the organization, wanting to get guys that want to be here.
Yep.
Is there a reason why maybe he's not?
So, you know, and you look at it, and we looked at. We talked long and hard about it, you know, within the organization here. We have, you know, on the back end at that point in time before the trade deadline, you know, we have two guys that are very, very important to this organization in Brendan Dillon DeMello, both guys that, you know, we would like to have back, both guys that, you know, I think are big parts of this team. But we also had something good going with respect to, you know, the group and the team atmosphere and everything like that. And one of the biggest fears, and, you know, we're living in a salary cap world, is is you don't know what you don't know. And, you know, if we started negotiations with one and got them done and couldn't get the other one done, like, you know, we're here about to win a cup. We're here to try to, you know, to push this team. We didn't want to, you know, deviate from what we had built, you know, within that room. You know, we communicated with their agents in both of those, you know, situations that, you know, it wasn't a matter of if, it was a matter of when, and the when just wasn't at that point in time. And then at the trade deadline, you know, you make some trades for a couple of other, you know, UFAs as well that, you know, potentially factor into the equation as well. So, you know, Monahan and Toffoli are obviously, you know, great veteran players, and both in that, you know, that period of time of their career. Now, having said all that, you know, we've signed, obviously, you know, with Helly and Scheife, the extensions, you know, they'll kick in. That you know, you have to be mindful of that. You know, we were able to get Toffoli with 50% retention. You know, those things you get kind of forget as the summer goes on, as to, you know, the benefits of the trade deadline and stuff like that. And obviously, Monty's contract, you know, he was coming off unique situations and circumstances where, you know, it was an undervalued contract for what he, you know, brings to the table. So those all have to be factored in, you know, but we're going to sharpen our pencil and, you know, we'll do what we can.
I was going to ask Kevin on the topic of Sean Monahan. I mean, the second line center was a storyline in training camp. I think we thought maybe Gabe Vilardi, Cole Perfetti might be in the mix, and Vlad obviously moved up to play there. Yeah. And then Sean was brought in and obviously filled that role. So would he be a guy that you would have some conversations with? And if not, that's still an area that you might have to address at some point here?
Yeah, so I did have a brief conversation with his agent as well, a couple weeks into, you know, him being here. And, you know, you want to see, you know, I think a player wants to see where they fit and see how they feel. And, you know, and obviously, you know, again, those conversations were good, and I kind of alluded to the fact that we have, you know, several other, you know, defensemen as well that are kind of in that situation right now, where, you know, we want to try and keep them all, and you know, we'll do that. The good thing is, you know, the conversations of the desire to want to try to, you know, make it work, you know, that was there, and that was evident in the you know, in the meetings that we had today, and you know, again, we'll start working on that. You know, the business side of it does start picking up, you know, as soon as you have that last exit meeting. So
it's often said NHL's not a developmental league, and it can be a tough league for young players. And when a team is deep and going well, as you guys were, I just want your thoughts on a couple players. Cole Perfetti, obviously, you know, he stays healthy.
Yes, yeah, which is first and foremost
right,
important.
And, you know, career highs offensively. But obviously when the playoffs start, there wasn't a role for him until the final game of the year. So just your thoughts maybe on his development and usage. And then a guy like Vili, who obviously looked like he was going to crack the opening night roster and ended up not playing a single game with the Jets. Just your thoughts on those.
Yeah, so there's some double-edged swords there with respect to, you know, what you hope for and what ends up happening. You know, I think, you know, the first part of it is obviously, you know, Cole, you know, had a great year. And like I say, for him, you know, you can tell that obviously he worked hard in the summer, you know, to get to the point where he was healthy and you know, that was good. So that's important. You know, the hard part about my job, I guess, here is weighing the pros and cons, you know, at a trade deadline as to what you should or shouldn't do, you know. And obviously, you know, at that trade deadline, you know, Gabe Vilardi's hurt, you know, not necessarily sure as to what, you know, what that outcome could be. And, you know, you have to make some decisions. You're, you know, they call it a deadline for a reason. That's it, you know. So, unfortunately, sometimes, you know, there's unintended consequences of those kind of things. Now, again, that's the nature of the game, and you know, you make those decisions and you go. The double-edged sword of it is if you know, it goes back to even a guy like Vili, is part of the reason you have success as an organization is you can stay healthy. And, you know, like, you look at years past, and I think that's kind of a little bit of a theme that even some of the guys talked about this year, why it stings that much more. Not that last year didn't sting, but, you know, in that room, we knew that Scheife wasn't coming back until, you know, maybe third round. Same with JMO. You know, we knew that those guys, we maybe not said it out, you know, to you guys, but we knew that they were, you know, they were done. And I think that mentally, or done for till really late in the playoffs, and that mentally was hurting for those guys. This year we went in healthy, and, you know, outside of Morgan Barron, you know, everybody, you know, stayed healthy until obviously down the stretch here, and losing Dilly, you know, that's an emotional, you know, loss, you know, certainly in that regard. And the way we lost him was an emotional thing, you know, as well. Same with Vladdy. You know, it's there's a deep care for those guys that amongst their teammates and amongst each other that, you know, it's one thing to pull a groin. It's one thing to even break a bone. You know, but when, you know, those things kind of happen, that hurts, you know, that hurts the family.
Kevin, what are some of the things, impactful things that you heard from your players already that sort of get your wheels turning as to what your direction might be for the offseason and your decision-making?
Yeah, so, you know, again, I think they all understand, you know, they know the business side of the game. They know we have, you know, some UFAs to deal with. We have some RFAs to deal with, so they don't get into that, you know, so much, but, you know, again, I think, you know, again, this group liked each other, believed in each other, is something that, you know, the common themes, you know, they know that the cap is a zero-sum game, you know, with respect to how you have to, you know, manage it and stuff like that. But again, the common theme is, you know, is from the leaders and from the guys that is like, we need to push each other. Like, not only during the season, we need to push each other now in the off season here. We need to, you know, tell each other, here's what I'm doing. Maybe, you know, this is working for me. This isn't working for me. We need to come back 10% better, everybody, somehow, or 1% better, or 5%, but we need to come back. And that's the work that you do during the summer is really where you lay that foundation.
And you mentioned that you'd be meeting with Rick and the coaches potentially tomorrow. How long do you anticipate it to be figuring out Rick's future with the club option in place?
Obviously, you know, I'm not putting any timetable on anything there. It's an emotional time for everybody here, an emotional time for them. Like, you know, we'll have those conversations, and you know, we'll kind of update from there.
Earlier, you said there's a certain way that this team needs to play to be successful,
yeah.
And I recognize that tone from my dad when I've been. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I just wonder emotionally what your guts are telling you about what you guys need to do to get there, whether it's composition, whether it's things you can do to help your players, the existing ones, figure that out, because it seemed like the difference. Colorado had that consistency and they didn't ever break.
Yeah, you know, and again, that's a great question because, you know, again, I think, you know, I can look at roster composition and I will look at roster composition. You're going to look at, you know, what's coming in the pipeline and how does that fit or, you know, does it fit? You got to look at, you know, the UFA situation, the RFA situation, you know, the cap. Those are things I can. You know, I think that, you know, the coaches are going to, you know, be asking themselves how can we be 10% better as well from a lot of different perspectives. You know, again, I guess the hardest part is for periods of time, long stretches of time, we saw, you know, how this team, you know, can go. And it's not taking anything away from Colorado because, you know, it's more of, I guess, a compliment to them. They found a way to get us out of our structure. They found a way to get us out of, you know, what makes us successful, what made us successful. You know, that's what good players and good things do. Now, the flip side of it is those are the kind of things that the guys are asking themselves, you know, like, how did this happen and how does it never happen again? I don't know that I had that same level of self-reflection in the conversations that we had with the players last year. I think, you know, and again, it's as weird as it sounds, there's so many guys that were unprepared to talk today because they're like, we're not supposed to be talking today. We're supposed to be practicing today or we're supposed to be doing something today. Or it's like you ask and they say, what are you doing now? Where you know, are you heading? I don't know. Like, I don't know. I didn't plan anything, you know. So those are the kind of things that I think catches you. And again, the playoffs happen fast, you know. Like, it's, you're generally playing every other night, and you know, you talk about you know, the highs and the lows, and managing them. And you know, again, we'll probably have to learn, you know, from this very hard lesson about how to, you know, how to manage those emotions, you know, in a series.
Those emotions, I'm guessing, come from a sense of expectations that was developed and earned, I think, in the room. I can't remember a time in these years where I've heard as much, I'm the problem, it's me, I need to look inside, and sort of believe the conviction of it as strongly as we're hearing now. Why do you think that players are feeling and expressing that so strongly this time?
Well, I think some of the things that we've talked about, and it goes back to what Bones had always said, you know, at the beginning, you know, we're not here for excuses. We're here to find solutions. It's up in our, you know, in the room there on the wall, in one of the walls. But I think that there's lots of these players, you know, you see their talents on the ice, you see them working, you see them in the gym. A lot of these players work on themselves as well during, you know, during the season and during the off season. And, you know, like, some of the things that I know have been conveyed to the, you know, to the players through the different people either that we provide or different things that we do is that don't take yourself off the hook. You know, like, are you know, like, how can you be better? How can you up your performance? You know, and I think it's that level of maturity that you learn. Unfortunately, not you know, it's not given. You know, you have to learn is that, you know, you have to look at yourself before you can look at anything else. You have to look at yourself, and I think our players, you know, like you say, if you're hearing that more, that's because they're putting work into themselves to understand that they ultimately are, you know, the masters of their own fate.
You mentioned cap considerations, and certainly you have those extensions kicking in. RFAs will get raises. You have UFAs that you'd like to sign.
Yeah.
Are buyouts an option for you this summer?
Well, I hope not. You know, I hope, you know, again, we find ways to, you know, do the things that we, you know, we need to do. But I think, you know, again, you know, a lot of you have been around the organization for a long period of time here, is that nothing's been off the table, you know, whether it's trading picks or trading, you know, different things or making hard buyouts. Nothing's been off the table. But that's not saying anything is imminent. I'm just saying that, you know, as an organization, you know, we don't say, okay, you can't do that. You know, it's one of those things where I'm very, very fortunate, you know, to be part of an organization that doesn't shackle you when it comes to cap, contracts, budgets. You know, the hockey is what they're here to do to win.
I know Bones feels it's a step forward this year, but parallels could be drawn between this year and last year, and the feeling, you know, with the players and the coach that you didn't quite, not quite, like, you fell short of where you thought that you could get to in presenting your game. And I think you could look back all the way to maybe 2019 game six, and there could be a pattern viewed of this team exiting the playoffs in somewhat underwhelming fashion compared to what you think that you're capable of. I think your thoughts on this would probably be more important than anyone in the organization. What's your assessment on why there seems to be a pattern over the years of this team exiting the playoffs in underwhelming fashion?
Well, you know, again, I think every year is different. So to try to, you know, try to make every season, you know, seem like a pattern, I think that's, you know, trying to connect A to C to F, you know, without, you know, going through the logical progression, because every season, you know, is different, and every situation has, you know, their own internal story. You know, like I said, I think I just alluded to it here before, like, this season feels different for me than last season. You know, last season I could sense that, you know, again, some of the guys, you know, knew that, you know, we're probably undermanned now with, you know, those guys, you know, being injured. And that didn't mean they didn't give it their all. But, you know, like, at the end of the day, it wasn't enough. This season here, I think that, you know, again, you know, you obviously run into a good team, but the players, again, need to grow. They need to understand that, you know, winning in this league, you know, is never a given. And making the playoffs in this league is never a given. You know, trust me, like at training camp, you know, next year, like, you know, 110 points is totally, you know, in the rearview mirror. You know, you have to understand. And I think it just goes back to all the players saying we need to find a way to, you know, to grow individually so that we can grow collectively. You know, again, I don't know that anybody loses, whether it's overwhelmingly, underwhelmingly, whatever, that you don't have that sense of disappointment. And, you know, again, one of the greater disappointments was, you know, losing in the conference finals. Like those, you know, again, that's real, you know, and emotions right now, you know, again, maybe we're stupid to do, you know, exits 48 hours after, you know, something, you know, this hard because, you know, again, sometimes, you know, people say things and they don't mean it, or sometimes they mean things but don't say it. And, you know, but again, that's why there's open dialogue here with our group. And like I say, I'm sure we'll have other conversations with a lot of the players as we move forward.
I don't want to hit you over the head with a question without asking you one that, you know, is reflective of the positives that you've accomplished this year. I don't know if you heard it, but I asked Jared Bednar about your organization, and he, you know, it was asked him specifically about Bones, but he kind of went on a soliloquy about this organization and mentioned you by name and the job that you guys have done, how good of an organization is, the way it's run, how tough you guys are to play against. I just wanted you to reflect on maybe what you think you've shown the league this year and the reputation that you and your organization have built up for yourselves.
Well, you know, again, I didn't hear those words, but I appreciate, you know, him saying that because, you know, again, coming from that organization, which is, you know, has proven to win a Stanley Cup and, you know, obviously went through their first round exit last year and, you know, and obviously, you know, played as well as they did against us, you know, this year, it means a lot. But, you know, as an organization, all we've ever wanted to do is, you know, obviously we want to win like that, but we want to, you know, certainly be a sense of pride, you know, for the city of Winnipeg, you know, for all our fans. It's important. Like it's, this city is unique. It's, you know, obviously one of the smaller markets in the National Hockey League. But I kind of liken it to when you know, and we've all kind of done it, when you're a kid or something, you drop a pebble, you know, into the water. And sometimes in, you know, when you got a big body of water, you drop the pebble in and there's waves and it just kind of goes off. Well, in our small market like that, you drop a pebble into the water and there's waves and it keeps coming back. Because that's the emotions. Like these people, you know, these fans, you know, they're emotional. They care, and that's standing here today. That's probably the hardest thing, honestly. You know, it's like you can talk to the players. I feel for them, but you know, again, our you know, the whiteout just never ceases to amaze you. And you know, when you got people saying, I couldn't put my finger on a map and tell you where Winnipeg is, but man, that building was, you know, that was, you know, off the hook. Like it says a lot about, you know, our fan base, and I'm going to do my damnedest to, you know, to try to keep pushing it.
Kevin, a quick one about Elias Solomonson, season that he had, and what's the plan for him for next season?
Yeah. So, you know, very fortunate for him. He, you know, ended up winning a championship there and over in Sweden. And, from all accounts that we have there, he was a big part of that as well. And you know, really, he really did well. When we signed him, we talked it over with his representatives that we all felt that it would be an important year for him to go back and to, you know, play and develop, and that he was going to have a big role, and that did happen. So it was great. So we're looking forward to him coming over. You know, obviously he'll be here in development camp and, you know, and then go from here. So where he fits in the whole scheme of things, you know, that'll be up to him, obviously, you know, but you know, he's got good pro experience over there and the development path is, you know, has been a good one.
How would you describe Brad Lambert's development, and also, too, on the flip side, the decision that Rutger McGrady made to go back to school?
Yeah, so I can talk about Rutger. You know, first, obviously, I got a chance to, you know, I guess the last game I saw him play, I went to St. Louis there and you know, watched him play in the regionals and you know, obviously had a brief conversation with him, you know, after, and I just said to him, I said, you know, go win your championship. Like, go be the leader that you are. Go be the player that you are. Don't worry about, you know, any of these, you know, anything like that. I said, I'm here to cheer you on. I'm not here to, you know, talk contract or what might happen in 2 weeks or whatever. And he was real appreciative of that. And, you know, so at the end of the season, you know, as an organization, we've always felt that it's important that when you're taking a player out of school and they're leaving, you know, they're leaving school on the table and you know, that kind of development, that they make that decision. So we made it very open to him from the onset that we're more than willing to sign him, more than willing to, you know, to turn him pro. But in the same token, you know, we need him to make that decision, you know, for what he feels was best for his development. And we had great conversations with his agent, you know, there in the end. And I talked to him as well after. And you know, again, so it's a good thing. I think for a player like Rutger, you know, not unlike what happened with Scheif, I think, back when we sent him the second year back to, you know, juniors, these guys want to be part of make a difference, you know, to be that leader. And I think, you know, Rutger is looking even for more of a bigger role where he can, you know, help lead a team, you know, to that kind of greatness and help his development there. With Brad and Chibi, you know, it was awesome to get a chance to, you know, I wish I could have been there when Mo told them that, you know, they were getting called up, because I heard that the team was, you know, was pretty fired up and pretty elated for them. You know, and then to see, you know, again, the impact. The even more important thing was, you know, several of our guys in the exits today talked about them. You know, we didn't ask about them. They talked about, you know, some of those guys. And I'm talking about guys that are invested, you know, in the long-term success of the Jets. And you know, they were asking about Chibi, and they're asking about Brad. They're asking about Solomons. And, you know, obviously Rutger, you know, they know Rutger, and they ask about them. They, you know, those kind of things really show to me that, you know, again, these players, you know, they're invested in our group in the long-term. But they both had great years, and you know, Brad's development specifically, you know, again came leaps and bounds. You know, Chibi, you know, coming over from Russia obviously is a different experience. But you know, again, to have both those guys have success in their first NHL game was very, very important. Thanks very much. Appreciate. I know we'll chat again at different points in time, but I do appreciate everyone's, you know, professionalism this year, and you know, the job that you guys have to do. And you know, again, I thank you all for that.